All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So we're picking up today's daf. Today's daf is Ayin Hey. We are picking up Ayin Dalid Amud Beis. So we left off Ella Amar Rava. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 lines up from the bottom. So says the Gemara Ella Amar Rava. So first, remember, trying to understand the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. So Ella Amar Rava, Ger Amoni Uma Avi Ika Benayu. So Rava suggests that the fundamental machlokes occurring here is regarding a Ger Amoni and Moavi. A Ger who converts from Amon and Moav. So the Gemara says, Vachi Kamar, this is what the Mishnah means to say. Kol ha'asurim lavo bakal. Anyone who is asked, remember again, the Mishnah began with a statement, and the statement was, all those who are asked to come into the Kal, mutarim lavo zebaze, are permitted to marry one another. And then Rabbi Huda Oser. Rabbi Huda Oser. So we're trying to figure out what does that mean, Rabbi Huda Oser. So the Gemara now wants to suggest that the machlokes is about a very specific case of a Ger Amoni and Moavi. V'achi kamar, this is what it means to say. Kol asurim lavo bakal, anyone who is prohibited to come into the Kal, who is that? Ger Amoni u Moavi. It refers to a Ger Amoni and Moavi. Mutarin lavo zeboseh. But remember again, a man from Ammon and Moab can convert, can become Jewish, but they are forever restricted in their marital pool. That supposed to, let's say, a female, an Ammonis or a Moavis who converts, who ultimately, again, are considered to be a regular Giores from the beginning. So says the Gemara that the Mishnah is coming to teach me that Ger Amoni and Moavi are mutar lavo zebazeh. They, although they are restricted in the general marital pool, they are permitted to marry one another. Ihachi, my Rabbi Huda Oser. If that's the case, then what's the meaning of the statement when it says that Rabbi Huda asers? It's Hachi Kamar. This is what it means to say. Afa pish Rabbi Huda Oser ger b'mamzeres. Even though Rabbi Huda normally is of the opinion that we saw yesterday and the day before that a ger is not permitted to marry Imam Zeres. Because remember again, Rabbi Huda's opinion is that Kahal Gerim, Ikri Kahal, that Gerim are considered to be part of the general Kahal, therefore they can't marry Imam Zer. Hanimili Ger Deroy Lava Bakal. Rabbi Huda says that prohibition is limited to a ger who is permitted to come into the Kahal. Aval Ger Amoni Umoavi De'in Ru'in Lava Bakal Lo. But a Ger Amoni Umoavi who are not part of the Kahal, who cannot marry into the general populace, ultimately again, even Rabbi Huda would agree that Imam Zer would be permitted to marry them. So says the Gemara Tan Rabbanon, Ben Teisha Shana V'Yom Echad, Ger Amoni Umo Avi Mitzri Ve'edomi Kusin Esin Chalo Mamzer. So we'll say, if you have a boy who's 9 years old in one day, and remember again, what's the significance of 9 years old in one day? That's the age at which the Bia becomes a halachically recognizable Bia. So let's say you have a boy who's 9 years old in one day, who is either a Ger Amoni Umo Avi, Ammonite or a Moabite convert, a Mitzri convert, a Domi convert, Kusi. Plus, remember again, we've spoken about the Kusim a number of times. So the Kusim were the nation, were a group of people from the place called Kusa, who were resettled in Eretz Yisrael by the king Shalmaneser. There was an outbreak of lions in Eretz Yisrael, which of course is very rare in Eretz Yisrael. They converted, but their conversion, we're going to talk about them more. We're actually going to try a little bit of a dafyomi feat in Yeretz Hashem today to get to Ayin Vav and Aleph. So we're going to discuss the Kusim extensively in Yeretz Hashem, if not today, certainly tomorrow. So a boy, a young, 9 years old in one day, any of these designations, or in a sin, or a chalal, or a mamzer, shebo ala kohenes v'alaviya v'avah bas Yisrael, who had a bia with a kohenes, a woman who's a bas kohen, woman who's a bas levi, or a bas Yisrael. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi Omer kol shezaru shezaro posel, posel. Rabbi Yossi says that anyone who would create posel offspring with this woman makes the woman posel a kahuna as well. The kol she'in zaro posel, but whatever situation where the offspring would not be posel, ain't a posel. The woman herself is not pasul kuna. So remember, we're trying to figure out, there are two issues at play over here. Issue at play is the status of the woman, and that's number one, and number two is the status of the offspring. So how do I know if a woman, as a result of a particular bia, becomes psula to marry a kohen? So Yossi says, well, look at the offspring. If this union would produce offspring that is pasul to marry into the kuna, then what? Then that's indicative of the fact that the woman herself will be pasul kuna as well. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, says, call top of ayin hey. Kol she'atanose bito, atanose almanuso. Any situation you'd be permitted to marry the daughter of a particular union, you can marry that man's widow as well. In other words, any union that produces a daughter whom you'd be permitted to marry, you can marry the widow of that union as well. The chol she'i atanose bito, and any union from which you would not be permitted to marry the daughter, I atanose almanuso, you would not be permitted to marry the widow either. Says the Gemara, ma'ika ben Tanakama uben Rabbi Yossi. So what is the nafkamina between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi? So remember, the Tanakama just simply said the lashon of pasluha, that ultimately if a boy 9 years old in one day has relations, of when any of these designations, who had relations with the Jewish woman, ultimately again, the woman becomes pasul lekuhuna. So what's the chilik between what the Tanakhama said, what Rabbi Yossi said? Oh, Sigmar said, I'll tell you. Rabbi Yochanan mitzri sheni ika benayu. But say, this is very interesting. The nafkamina would be a mitzri sheni. But say, now let's play this out for just a moment. According to the Tanakhama, so remember again, if a man who is not permitted to marry a woman has relations with her, so again, then by definition, she's psul lekuhuna. What did Rabbi Yossi say? What's the metric for deciding if a woman is psul lekuhuna? Look at the offspring. So we'll say, what happens if a mitzri sheni has relations with a Jewish woman? What's the status of the offspring? So the offspring is a mitzri shlishi. What's the status of a third generation Egyptian convert? Totally permitted love olakal. So interestingly enough, according to Rabbi Yossi, you could have a situation of a woman who has relations with a man to whom she is prohibited, yet she does not become psula lekuhuna. Why? Because according to Rabbi Yossi, we measure the impact of the bia based on the nature, quality, and identity of the offspring. And because in this situation, the offspring would be totally kosher, which is an interesting case, you could have a situation of an illicit union that produces a totally kosher offspring. The child is a mitzri shlishi, which is totally fine. So according to the Tanakhama, bia with a mitzri sheni would go ahead and preclude the woman from marrying into the kahuna, but according to Rabbi Yossi, bia with a mitzri sheni would not prohibit her ultimately from later on marrying a kohen. So the Gemara says, u'shneim lelandu elami kohen gadol ba'am, and both of them learn out their respective shitos, ultimately, from the case of Kohen Gadol and an Amana. Remember, Kohen Gadol is not permitted to marry an Amana. The Tanakhama Sover, Ki Kohen Gadol ba'Amana. The Tanakhama says that this case, or this situation, is like a Kohen Gadol marries an Amana. What's the case? Ma Kohen Gadol ba'Amana, Shebi Asa ba'Aveira, Upos Selba. Was it just like a Kohen Gadol who marries an Amana, where the Bia is an Aveira? The bia itself is aver because the union itself is prohibited. Upos selba, and therefore what? And therefore, Bosai, that bia, meaning if a kohen gadol has bia with an almana, that precludes her from marrying kura Bosai, from marrying any kohen. Remember again, technically speaking, a regular kohen is permitted to marry an almana. It's only a kohen gadol who is not permitted to. But yet, a bia asura with a kohen gadol will preclude her from marrying into the kahuna subsequently. So therefore, the Tanakhama says, this is the paradigm. Av kol shebi asa ba'aveira posel, so to any case where the bia is asur, ultimately, that will prohibit her from marrying into the kuna. Well, says, that's the sheet of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yossi, Savar, Ki, Kohen Gadol, Ba'amana. Rabbi Yossi says, yes, I agree. We do learn that from Kohen Gadol with an Amana, but a different limud. Ma, Kohen Gadol, Ba'amana, Shezar, Apostle, Uposel. Well, say, just like if a Kohen Gadol marries an Amana, so again, the offspring of that union is Apostle. Therefore, again, she will become Psula from that union as well. Af kol shezar apostle posel. Therefore, again, every case where the union produces offspring that are apostle, so that union will also pasul the woman from marrying future kohanim as well. La afuke mitzri sheni she'in zar apostle. This comes, of course, to exclude the case of where the woman has relations with the mitzri sheni, where even though that act of relations is aser, but because the offspring will be kosher, therefore the woman is not nifsal lakuna. The Amar Kra, because the pasuk says, "Banim asher yoldu lahem dor shlishi yavo lahem bekal Hashem," because the pasuk says that a mitzvi shlishi ultimately is permitted to come into the kal Hashem. So here we have the fundamental machlokas, Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakhama. It's a very exciting machlokas because again they're arguing. They're arguing. First of all, it's amazing. They're both extrapolating their shitos from the same case of Kohen Gadol Ba'amana. So essentially, Rabbi Yossi says, look, any time that a woman is not permitted to have relations with a man, that act of relations, that bia, renders her pasul lekuhuna. Done. That's it. Rabbi Yossi says, no. The way to gauge the impact of the bia is to look at the status of the offspring. The status of the offspring tells you what the impact of the bia should be. And therefore, again, if the status of the offspring is pasul, then the bia makes her pasul. But if the status of the offspring is kosher, then even though technically speaking the bia may be asr, she does not become psula. So we'll say, then there was a third sheet. So remember, Rav Shimon Gamliel said, any case where you can marry the daughter, in other words, any union that produces a daughter whom you can marry, you can also marry the widow of that union. But any union that produces a daughter that you cannot marry, you could not marry that widow as well. Say, what is the practical difference between Rabbi Yossi and Shem Gamliel? Amar Ula, here's the distinction. Ger Amoni Umo Avi Ika Beinaihu. So Ula said, the difference between them is a Ger Amoni and Moavi. So we'll say, so what would be the chilek over here? If you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says, Ger Amoni Umo Avi Ika Beinaihu, the Rabbi Yossi posel, the Hayesh Mizaro Shu posel, Shaschar Masurim, Isra Olam. Or the Rabbi Shimon, Hoelu Bito Kshera, the Amoni Velo Amonis, Amonus Onami Kshera. So we'll say, according to Rabbi Yossi, so if a woman has a child with a Ger Amoni and Moavis, so ultimately, again, Omo Avi, so ultimately, this would be a forbidden union. Why? Because if they have boys, those boys will forever be prohibited. According to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, if a woman has relations with a Ger Amoni, and that union produces a daughter, so we'll say, what's the status of the daughter? The daughter is totally fine. Because remember, again, the prohibition of Amon Amoav is only on the men, not on the women. So this would be a union that produces a daughter whom you can marry. If that's the case, that I can marry the daughter, then if I'm a kohen, then what? I can marry the Amona as well. And I will say, both of them learn out from the same case of kohen gadol marries an Amona. So Rabbi Yossi, Sabaki kohen gadol ba'amona. Rabbi Yossi holds that this is just like a case of a kohen gadol with an Amona. How so? Ma kohen gadol ba'amona shezaro posel uposel. So we'll say, just like a kohen gadol with an Amona, their offspring is posel. In other words, their offspring are chalolim. So too, the woman becomes prohibited to the kahuna as well. Av kol shezaro posel posel. So Rabbi Yossi Shita is any union that produces forbidden offspring, the woman herself will become forbidden to the kahuna as well. But Rabbi Shimon Gamliel ka kohen gadol ba'amona. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel also holds that it's like the case of a kohen gadol with an amona. How so? Ma kohen gadol ba'amona shekol zaro posel. Just like when a kohen gadol marries an amona, all the offspring are tainted by the illegitimacy of this union. Av kol shezaro posel. Therefore, again, only a case where all the offspring will be prohibited. Afilu nekevos, even girls. La fuke ger amoni umo avi din nekevos havuksheros lavo bakal. Do amar mar amoni velo amonis mo avi velo mo avis. If Rabbi Yossi Shimon Gamliel will say, this is really fascinating, that if a woman has relations with a ger amoni or a ger mo avi, or according to Rabbi Yossi, ultimately the woman will be pasul kuna. According to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the woman will not be pasul kuna. Why? Because remember, any case where I, the Kohen, can marry the daughter of the union, the woman herself is fit for kahuna as well. Therefore, in this case, if they were to have a daughter, the status of the daughter is totally fine because the prohibition of Amon and Moab does not apply to the girls. It only applies to the boys. Therefore, the mother is kshera as well. So we'll say the incredible novelty of these shitos is that both according to Rabbi Yossi and Shimon Gamliel, you could have a case of a woman who engages in a bia that's aser, but technically speaking, she would still be kasher lekuhuna. It's the amazing case. Amrav chista hakomodim ba'almanas isa shepsu lekuhuna. So we'll say everybody agrees in the case of almanas isa. What's almanas isa? We'll say, so if you look at Rashi, Rashi says almanas isa b'ksuvis mefarish almanas safek chalal shaisa meureves b'sveikos b'ilahaya safek. The Bamika called the Havile Svek Sveka. So we'll say, so as we're going to see over here, the case of Almanas Isa is a case of where there's a suffix about the chalos. And we'll say, we're going to see that there are two possibilities. Well, we won't see it inside, but I'll tell you it outside, that there are going to be two possibilities as to what this suffix is. For now, just suffice it to say that a woman, there's a suffix if she was married to a chalal or not. So I mean, she was definitely married to the male. Let me clarify this. There's no suffix if she was married. The suffix was what? Whether or not her husband was a chalal. So the halacha is, so Rav Chista says, everyone agrees, ba'amanas isa. But say isa is the lashon of safek. Everyone agrees that in the case of an amanu who's a safek, chalosha psula kuna, that ultimately she is psula to marry to the kuna. Man mekel ba'ani tanoim. Because let's analyze this. Who is the most mekel of the tanoim? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel v'ka. Amar kosha atanose, bita atanose, amanuso. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, remember, the metric for determining whether or not a woman is kasher for the kahuna is to say the following: if you can marry the daughter of this union, then you can marry the almano. In any case, he can't marry the daughter of a particular union. You also can't marry the almano. Let me ute my. What does this come to exclude? So let me ute almanas isa shepsula lekuhuna. Ultimately, again, this comes to exclude this case of a woman who's an almana, but there's a suffix that maybe she's a chalala. We don't know her status. Therefore, in a case like that, you would not be permitted to marry the daughter of that union. If that's the case, then the woman herself becomes psula lakuna as well. La fuke nidahani tanoi. This comes to exclude from the other tanam. This nan, heyed Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Yehuda, Mesera, almana, isa shekshere lakuna, because there are other opinions. Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Yehuda, Mesera hold that almanas isa, ultimately, again, A suffik of an almana who was married to a man who was a suffik chalal. The halacha is shekshir lekuna. These opinions say she's permitted to marry to the kuna. My taima, what's the reason for this? Havi svek sveka. Because Rabbi say it's a svek sveka. Svek sveka lekula. Rabbi say, now, over here, if you look at Rashi says svek sveka, baila haya suffik vihi ba'a miko chol hi pasal. Rabbi say, under normal circumstances, what svek sveka means is a double suffik. Is a double suffix. So that's not how the Gemara is using this Lashon over here. Here the Gemara is using the Lashon, ultimately, svek sveka means it's a suffix. It's a suffix, meaning the husband was a suffix, and ultimately that suffix was passed on to her. So the Gemara says, therefore, because it's a suffix, therefore, lemaisa what? Therefore, she's permitted to marry into the kuhuna. Okay, says the Gemara, vadon bivadon mutter. So remember again, mostly going back to the Mishnah, so the Mishnah said, Rabbi Eliezer had an interesting shita. And Rabbi Eliezer's shita was, vadon bivadon mutter, which means, people who have definitively disqualified status are permitted to marry others who have definitively disqualified status as well. So for example, a mamzer can marry a mamzer. But for example, according to Rabbi Eliezer, a mamzer can't marry a shtuki. Why? Why? Because a mamzer has a vadai disqualification. A shtuki is what? Shtuki is a suffix. Shtuki is a suffix. Therefore, again, that's Shilas Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Halach, Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Rav Dalach, was Rabbi Eliezer. Ki amrisei kamei di Shmuel Amarli Hillel, Hillel Shona Asar Yuchsin Alumi Bavel. The Kulon Mutarim Lavo Zebazah. Va'at Amrit Halacha Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi says, listen to this. You have Rabbi Yehuda saying in the name of Rav that the Halacha follows Rabbi Eliezer. When they said this over in front of Shmuel, Shmuel said, what are you talking about? Go back to the first Mishnah in the Perek. What did the first Mishnah in the Perek say? First Mishnah spoke about the idea that Hillel brought up all of the Psulim to Eretz Yisrael, and yet what's the Halacha? Hillel said that all the Psulim are permitted to marry into each other. So how can you say that Rabbi Eliezer is right? Hillel Dafka brought up all of the psulim, so first of all, they could keep an eye on them. And number two, the Mishnah said definitively that the various psul puzzle categories are permitted to intermarry. Some mamzer can marry a shtuki, and a shtuki can marry a sin, and a sin can marry a chaval. So how can you say that Allah follows Rabbi Eliezer? To which the Gemara says, V'rami, dirava, dirav, rami, dishmal, dishmal. So we'll say now, what we're going to see is the following. So in this version of, what we just said, Rav seems to say that a vadai can't marry a suffik, and a suffik can't marry a vadai, and Shmuel says, yes, they can. The Gemara is not going to pose a contradiction. The itmar, arusa she, Rabbi says, it's an interesting case, and arusa becomes pregnant. And the issue over here, Rashi says, is ve'en yadua imme arus imme ish acher. We don't know, is she pregnant by her husband, or is she pregnant from another man? So what's the halacha, Rabbi says? Arusa shebra, Rav amar havlad mamzer. So Rav says, the child's a mamzer, Ushmuel amar havlad shtuki. And Shmuel said, ultimately, again, this child is a shtuki. So says, look at Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi says, havlad shtuki. This is Shmuel Shita. Shema me arus v'kasha, shema me achar apostle. So what's the child's a shtuki, because you don't know the paternity of the child. We just don't know. Remember, we'll say, I want to be clear, let's go back for just a moment. Remember we said before, we spoke of this on Sunday, how do you know your father's your father? And your father's your father. Because rov bi'ilos achar abal. Because we assume that even if a woman committed adultery, the majority of the time that she was with a man was with her husband. That chazaka, that rov, does not apply to an arusa. Because an arusa is not living with her husband. Therefore, Shmuel says the child's a shtuki. Because at the end of the day, we don't really know the paternity of the child. You can't declare a child a mamzer. Because Shmuel says we don't know. You can only declare somebody a mamzer if you know definitively that they're the product of an illicit union. But I also can't declare the child ultimately the child of the arus. Rav, on the other hand, holds the child's a mamzer. Look at Rashi again. Rashi says, "Rav Amar Vlad Mamzer, Vaday Da'amina Miruba Da'amu, Vakol Psulin Etzla." So we'll say, because Rav's idea is we go after the rov. the majority of men in the world are not her husband, and therefore we assume that the father of this child is not her husband. Therefore, the child is a mamzer. So Alma, the Shulchan Rashi, Alma, Lerab, Safek Kivadai Mashila Kitanakama, Dharma Sveken Bevada and Mutter. Therefore, what you see according to Rav is that we could create a Vadai situation from a Safek scenario. Therefore, again, according to Rav, it's a, meaning we take a Safek. We don't know who the father is. We assume the Rov tells us that the father is not the Arus. Therefore, we give the child a definitive status being a Mamzer. So, let's say, using that logic, so extending this back, Rav should be of the opinion that, let's say, a Mamzer can marry a Shtuki, because essentially we give the Shtuki a Vadai status as well, to which the Gemara says, Ushumam Havat Shtuki, I'm sorry, Rav Amar Mamzer, Shmuel Amar Havlad Shtuki. Rav Amar Mamzer, Havlad Mamzer, Umutr B'Mamzeres, Ushmuel Amar Havlad Shtuki, V'Asr B'Mamzeres. So I will say, now you see, the Shittos of Rav and Shmuel as espoused here just contradict the Shittos of Rav and Shmuel stated above. So the Gemara says, Eifuch. Okay, the truth, the simple answer is, switch it around. Rav Amar Havlad Shtuki. Rav says that the child in this case is a Shtuki. Shmuel Amar Havlad Mamzer, and Shmuel says that the child is a Mamzer. If that's the case, again, Abosai, Tarti Lamali, so why do I need two cases? Now, essentially, what you're telling me is I have two cases saying the same thing. One is the case of the Arusa, one is the case of the Arusa, and one is the ability, ultimately, again, of a Safek to marry a Vadai. So why do I need both of these cases? So, Tzricha, I'll tell you why. Di'iit Marbaha, because if it would have just said this first case, right, if we would have just said this first case, remember the first case is our Mishnah of where the Shtuki is coming from a Pnuya, Rashi says. The case of the Mishnah is where the Shtuki child is from a woman who's single. We just simply don't know the paternity of the child. I would have said, Baha Ka'amarav Mishum Durov K'sheira Metzla. That's where ultimately, again, Rav says that Allah follows Rabbi Eliezer, that we will not let that Shtuki marry a Mamzer. Why? Because the statistical probability is that the Shtuki is kosher, because the majority of men are ksherim. Majority of men are ksherim. Aval hasab, but in the case of Arusa, derov psulim etzla, where the majority of men are puzzled by her, because remember she's a married woman. So ema modu l'shmuel, perhaps he would hold like Shmuel and say that what, that the Shtuki can marry a mamzer because the Shtuki has a definitive prohibited status. V'iit mar b'hach, and had it just stated the case of Arusa, b'hach amar rav mishum dika l'misle ba'arus. In that case, Rav holds the way he holds, because why? Because you could say that you could attribute her pregnancy to the Arus. Aval b'ha ema modu l'shmuel, but in the case of the Mishnah, perhaps he would agree with Shmuel. Therefore, Tzricha. Therefore, we'll say we need both cases. V'ibay yisem. The other possibility is the olam lo sefuch. Don't switch around the shittos. Umay mamzer to come a rav. And what's the case? What does it mean when it says, according to Rav, that ultimately she can marry a mamzer? Lav mutar b'mamzeres ela da'aser b'bas yisrael. It doesn't mean that this offspring can marry mamzeres. Rather, it means that the offspring is aser to marry a bas yisrael. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, havlad shtuki da'aser b'bas yisrael. And Shmuel, who says that the child is a shtuki, holds also that the child cannot marry a bas yisrael. If that's the case, then Rav and Shmuel are saying the same exact thing. Elamai shtuki, we'll say, what does shtuki mean? Shemeshaskin osomi din kuna. Ultimately, what it means is that this child, let's say the aros is a kohen, we would not allow this child to claim a position in the kuna. So the pshit, the gemara, so that's obvious. Hashta midin yisom meshaskin ale midin kuna mi boy. So we'll say, there's a possibility that you're saying that the child is meaning even from din yisom, he's Jewish, but again, you're saying that his lineage is problematic. So certainly, for you're not going to let him be a coin. Elamai shtuki shemeshaskin osom minichse aviv. Oh, Bosai, this is very interesting. That the case of Yerbosai is if a woman who's an aros ultimately becomes pregnant, even if she claims that what? That the child ultimately is from the Arus, that the child who's born will not have a right of inheritance. So the Gemara says, Pshita, Mia Dianan, Avua Manu. So isn't that obvious? If you can't prove definitively who the father is, then of course the child will not have a right or a claim in inheritance. To which the Gemara says, Lo Tzricha, the Tafis. Arbo said, here's the case. The case is where when the child grew up, he seized property as part of his inheritance. You know, in Halacha, there's a concept sometimes. No, there's a concept all the time. In Halacha, there's a concept that under certain circumstances, I may not be able to prove my claim definitively that someone owes me something. But yet, if I take possession of the object, the halacha will not extract it from me. So you have that in certain, so I might have thought that in this case over here where the aris becomes pregnant and the child, the offspring claims that ultimately my father is the man whom my mother had arisen with. So okay, so that claim is not strong enough to allow him to collect inheritance, but let's say he seized the property. So I might have thought the seizure of property should enable him to keep the property. Kamashan, that's not the case. So the Gemara says, Viba, you see my shtuki baduki. So ultimately, the other possibility is, what is just shtuki? Maybe shtuki means a baduki. So remember, this is yesterday's daf. So what's the case of baduki? Shabot kines imo. We ask the mother, and we tell her, from whom are you pregnant? Va'omeris, and if she says, l'kasher nivalti, I had relations with a man who is kasher. Ne'emenes, she is believed. Kiman, like who? Kerebe Gamliel. Like Rabbi Gamliel, I ha Amar Shmuel Chadazimna, but Shmuel already taught us this lesson once. This nine, Haysimu Uberes va'Amar Lamati Voshel Uberze Meishploni v'Kohen Hu. They already learned this once that if a woman becomes pregnant, we ask her, tell us what's the nature of the pregnancy. In other words, we're not asking her how she's feeling. What we're asking her is who's the father, right? Who's the father of this baby? So and she says Meishploni v'Kohen Hu, and if she claims it's from so and so, and he's a Kohen, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Ne'emenes. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer say that she is believed. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Eino Ne'emenes. Rabbi Yeshua says that she is not believed. But Omer Rabbi Yehuda Meshmua Alach Rabbi Gamliel. And Shmuel said Alach Alaz Rabbi Gamliel that we believe her. So why do I need this? So therefore, if that's what it's teaching us over here, why do I need to be retaught this again? So Tzvicha, I'll tell you why you need it. I'll both say first of the widest lines on the bottom. Di'ime Hasam, Di'ime Hasam, Havamina Hasam Rav Ksher Metzla. I would have thought in that case, I both say the reason we believe her, she's a penuya, she's single, and therefore the majority is on her side. The Rov is on her side because the Maisa, Rov men are Ksherim. However, Aval Hacha, but in the case of Arusa, the Rav Psulim Etzla Emolo, but in the case of Osai Av, where she is Arusa, the majority of men ultimately again are prohibited to her. So I might have thought that she should not be believed. Therefore, Tzvicha. Therefore, I will say the Gemara teaches me that even in that case with the Rov are Psulim Etzla, she is still believed to say Lekasher Nevalti. Tanya, V'chin Rabbi Elazar Omer, Kusi Lo Yisa Kusis. Was another interesting case. A Kusi can't marry a Kusis. So my time, what's the reason for that? So Rav Yosef, Aso ki ger la'achar asar ador. So both say, now this is actually an interesting discussion which we're going to get into more, because Rav Yosef said a kusi is like a convert after 10 generations. And I both say, now one of the interesting things about gerim, and we're going to see that this is a fascinating discussion, is that ger status seems to be passed down through multiple generations. We'll discuss the ramifications of that, but there is a concept that a ger, this is just a regular convert, after 10 generations, the concept is nishtachach shem gerus, that the designation of ger is forgotten from the family, and they blend in, so to speak. So therefore, the Gemara says that a kusi is like a ger after 10 generations. So what does that mean? If you look at Rashi, Asok Yigir La'achar Asar Adaros, Lefishinish Shinis Yashnu B'Yisrael, they're already considered to be an old family in Klal Yisrael, V'Nirin Ki Yisrael, they have the appearance of being a regular Jewish family, V'Asar B'Psulos L'Kal, Shema Yomru Yisrael Nasa P'Sua. We'll say, so listen to this interesting case. We won't allow a Kusi to marry a Kusis. Why? Because the Kusi is like a Jew after 10 generations, therefore they're already embedded within the fabric of Jewish life, and if one Kusi marries another Kusi, people are going to think that it looks like a kosher Jew marrying someone whose lineage is somewhat besafek. So the Gemara says, I don't understand what that means. So the Gemara says, "Desanya ger dasar adoros mutar mamzeres," because also similarly, a ger up until 10 generations is permitted to marry a mamzeres. Mikan ve'elach asr mamzeres. From here on in, the convert is not permitted to marry mamzeres. Yishrom, some say, "Ad shi yishtakesh shem avodus kochav mimenu," that a ger is permitted to marry mamzeres until when? Until Bose, people no longer remember that the family is a family of gerim. It's interesting. So I'm really at Bai, me dummy, how can you compare the cases? Hasam ger yashan mamzeres. So Bose, there, it's a case of a ger yashan, in other words, an older established ger, meaning a family that's been Jewish for multiple generations, but descendant from gerim, who's trying to marry a brand new mamzer. However, again, Amri bar Yisrael hu dikandas mamzeres. So Bose, in that case, it looks strange, because if you have a family that converted multiple generations ago, people don't know about anything about the gerus. It looks like a regular Jew marrying a mamzeres. Hacha idi vidi ki adadinenu. These two people, the kusi and the kusis, are exactly the same. Ella ki asravdimi am rabbi lazer savadok rabbi yishma am beis. Rabbi Shmuel Sama Lach Rabbi Akiva. Oh, I will say, I'll tell you why a Kusi can't marry a Kusis. Watch this. Because Rabbi Elazar, remember, Rabbi Elazar is the one who said that a Kusi can't marry a Kusis. Why did Rabbi Elazar say this? Because Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Yishmael. You know, we're going to define all of this in just a little bit. And Rabbi Yishmael holds like Rabbi Akiva. Okay, that doesn't help us much. So what does that mean? Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Yishmael. So number one, Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Yishmael. Domer Kusin Gera Arayosim. So first of all, number one, Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion that the Kusim were insincere converts. We'll say, here's the problem that everyone agrees with. The Kusim were found to be worshipping idolatry even after their conversion. So remember, that throws everything up in the air. So number one, Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Yishmael that the Kusim were not genuine converts. They only converted to escape the lions. That's number one. But Rabbi Yishmael savor like Rabbi Akiva de Amar, Ovi Kochavim ve'eved haba'a bas Yisrael, Havlad Mamzer. So we'll say, listen to this. So therefore, furthermore, Rabbi Yishmael holds like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the one who has this extreme shita that even if a woman has relations with a non-Jew, with an Eved, ultimately, again, the offspring is a Mamzer. So we'll say, so therefore, what does that do for us? What that does for us over here is the following. So number one, we're going to hold that Kusim ultimately, again, are not full-fledged Jews. Number two, relations with a Kusi, therefore, will what? Will create a Mamzerus. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Gera Rayo Saint Bahari Kisha Obikuchum Shinasu Benos Yisrael. So for we'll say, here's the problem. We know over time that Kusim did marry into the Jewish people. So the issue of Yerabo says that what, according to Rabbi Elazar, every single Kusi is a Suffolk Mamzer, because again, there's a possibility that they're the offspring of a union between a Jewish woman and a Kusi, which according to Rabbi Akiva produces Mamzerim. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar holds two Kusim may not marry each other. Why? Because essentially, they're both Suffolk Mamzerim. They're both Suffolk Mamzerim. So therefore, again, but the sheet is predicated on two things. Number one, that Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Akiva, that the conversions were not genuine, geri, what we call geri arayos. We'll say not arayos with an ayin, like immorality, but arayos with an aleph, like lions. They converted because lions, so therefore, again, the conversions are not genuine. Therefore, essentially, they're ovdei kochavim. And Rabbi Shmuel is like Rabbi Akiva, that relations with a non-Jew produces mamzerim. Therefore, every single kusi is a suffix mamzer. Therefore, two kusim can't go ahead and marry each other. How do we know that if a non-Jew, an Ovi Kochavim, or an Eved, who had relations with a woman who was a Kohenes, or a Levi or Bas Yisrael, that they invalidate from marrying into the Kuhuna, Shene Emar, Ubas Kohen Ki Sihye Amanu Ugrusha, Vezera In Law. We'll say this to the Pasek, that if a Bas Kohen was an Amana or a Grusha, she was divorced or she was widowed and she has no offspring, she's permitted to go back to her father's home and consume Truma. So the Gemara says, Mishi Yeshlo Amana Sugerishin. So when could a woman go back to her father's home and continue to eat Truma? This is only from a husband who is capable of making her an Amana or a Grusha. In other words, a husband whom she was able to be married to. Yatza Oveko Chalim Ve'evet She'in Lo Amana Sugerishin. This excludes the case of what? Of an Ovi Kochavim or an Eved, who Rabbi said can't make this woman an Amon or a Grusha. Why not? Because they weren't capable of being married to her. So says in Rabbi, 1 second. But if you are the Rabbi Yishmael, the Rabbi Akiva, then Hashda Mamzer Havi. So Rabbi said, at the end of the day, this union will make their offspring into a Mamzer. Mifsa babi asami boy. Do you even have a shayla that the bia will pass on the woman? As well say, the limud is a strange limud. Rabbi Shmuel is trying to figure out that ultimately, again, the bia with an Ovid Kochavim and with an Eved precludes her from going back to her father's home to eat Truma because it's not a real marriage. But if Rabbi Shmuel is like Rabbi Akiva, of course it passes her from eating Truma. Why? Because it creates Mamzerus. Rabbi Elazar is like Rabbi Shmuel. Rather, Rabbi will say, here's the way you have to understand. Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Elazar holds that Kusim may not marry each other. Holds like Rabbi Yishmael. Amar Kusim Gere Arayos. That's number one. Ultimately, against Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Yishmael, who holds in general Kusim are Gere Arayos. They converted only to escape the lions. Therefore, essentially, they're Ovei Kochavim. Furthermore, V'savar Lach Rabbi Akiva. Amar Ovei Kochavim Ve'Eved Abba Abbas Yisrael Vlad Mamzer. So we'll say. So remember what you see with the Gemara switching over here. Beforehand, the way the Gemara set it up was Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Akiva. and Rabbi and Rabbi, excuse me, Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Akiva. Now that we've just established that what Rabbi Shmuel is not like Rabbi Akiva, so what do? We say Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Shmuel. In other words, we're cutting out the progression over here. It's not longer linear, but rather it's that Rabbi Elazar holds like two independent shittos. He holds like Rabbi Shmuel, namely that kusim are geira arayos, therefore they're not Jewish. Furthermore, he holds like Rabbi Akiva, that ultimately, again, ove kocham and ve'ever abba basisra vlad mamzer, therefore every single kusi is a suffix mamzer, therefore kusim cannot marry each other. So the Gemara says, they're stuck. They really are stuck. And those Rabbi Elazar holds, well, technically, we'll see. They could marry other mamzerim. The problem is that because kusi are suffic mamzerim, once, remember, this is Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar holds that sveikos can't marry each other. So they're, technically speaking, a vadai psul could technically, well, actually, no, they're stuck. They are stuck altogether, according to Rabbi Elazar. So the Gemara says, umisavala Rabbi Elazar krabi akiva, does Rabbi Elazar hold the krabi akiva, meaning, namely, that ovi kocham the evra abba basi so avlan mamzer, va'om Rabbi Elazar, even though Rabbi Elazar says, even though Rabbi Shammai Silo disagreed in the case of Tsaros, both said the case of Tsaros was the following, taking us back to our Yevamis days. I know not everybody wants to go back to our Yevamis days. So remember again, so Reuven has two wives, one of whom is an erva to his brother Shimon, the other is not an erva to the brother Shimon. So according to Beis Hillel, once one of the wives is a tzara, then what? Once one of the wives is an erva, that not only is she exempt from Yibum, but she exempts her tzara who koi from Yibum as well. So that's Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai holds that it's only the wife who is the erva who is exempt from Yibum, the other one is still obligated in Yibum. So even though they disagree with tzaros, modim shein mamzer ala mimishe suro isra erva, Anush Karis, but they both agree that what? That a mamzer only results from a union rabosai that is an Isser Erva and that is punishable by Karis. So how can you say that Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Akiva, who holds that any Isser creates mamzerus, when Rabbi Elazar is on record as saying over here that it's only a union that is punishable by Karis or by Misa's Bezin, that is the Erva that produces mamzerus? Ella, Ki aser avin amrabi chivar avin amrabi yochanan va amri la amrabi abba bar zavda amrabi chanina va amri la amrabi yakov bar idi amrabi yoshua ben levi shalosh machlokias bedaver. In reality, when it comes to kusim, there are three distinct opinions. Rabbi Shmuel savar kusim gere arayos. So Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that the kusim are illegitimate converts. They did not really convert. They only converted because of the lions. Therefore, their conversion is really suspect. Ukohanim shenitmu ubahen kohanim psulin hayu. And I will say, but we know that historically there were kohanim that married kusim, but the kohanim that married the kusim were kohanim psulim. Shenemar vayasu lahem. He's quoting over here the pasuk from Malachim. So the pasuk says vayasu lahem miktsosam kohani bamos viyu osim lahem bebeis habamos. Talking about a fact that some of the kohanim who married into the kusim ultimately erected bamos. They erected these altars. Mina kotzim sheba'am. But say, who are the kotzim referring to? The kotzim are the thorns within the people. Umishum hachi paslinhu. And ultimately, this is why the rabbis forbade, this is why Rabbi Elazar forbade, ultimately again, for kusim to marry one another, or to marry anyone else for that matter. Why? Because they're a gerai rayos. At the end of the day, Rabbi Elazar, they're ovdei kochavim. They're idolaters. And the kohanim who married into them were kohanim psulim. That's the first shita. Rabbi Akiva says, no, kusim geri emesim. So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Akiva is actually of the opinion that what? That kusim are legitimate converts. Ukohanim shnitmu, ukohanim ksherim hayu, and the kohanim who married into them were legitimate kohanim as well. Shneemar vayasu lahem miktsosam kohani bamos va'amar Rama bar Barchana amar Rabbi Yochanan min habechirim sheba'am. But the kusim over here refers to not the thorns of the people, but rather again the choicest of the kohanim. Right? So Rashi says over here, I'm sorry, not yet. So Rashi's actually last line, Loshanachem muktsin hein mina'am. Ultimately, again, set aside. Now Rashi says it for psul, but the Gemara is using that Loshan here for shvach, for a good thing. So if that's the case, that kusim are legitimate converts, if they're legitimate converts, and the kohanim who married into them somewhere down the road were legitimate kohanim, so why are they aser? Shabbos, I remember again, the only way Kohanim can marry into them would be how? Would be after some level of generations, where ultimately, again, the shame, Gerus, was no longer known. So if that's the case, that they're legitimate converts, then why should Kusim be prohibited? Ela mipnei ma asrum, mipnei shahayu miyavmim es ha'arusos, tap of ayin vav, upotrim es ha'nesuos. We'll say, I'll tell you why, says the Gemara. The Gemara says why? Because the Kusim were not well versed in the laws of marriage, specifically of Yibum. That they only did Yibum with Arusos, and they would patronusos. We'll say, now we know it's just the opposite. An Arusa is not subject to the laws of Yibum, but ultimately, again, an Asua is. By the Kusim, they had the exact opposite practice. In other words, if a woman was in Arusin, and her husband died, obviously without children, she would go in and she would do Yibum. But if a woman was married already, Nesua, obviously didn't have children, they would exempt her from Yibum. So we'll say, because of this, what ended up happening? So because of this, remember, at least according to Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that what? That even relationships prohibited by a lav create mamzerim. So we'll say, if a woman who is supposed to do Yibum doesn't do Yibum and ends up marrying someone else, so what's her status? Her status is that union produces mamzerim, because there's a lav. The pasuk says that the woman who's subject to Yibum cannot marry someone else. But yet by the Kusim, they did marry other men. Therefore, this produces mamzerim. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva can't marry Kusim. So asks the Gemara, so what is it fascinating? So remember, according to the first version, Kusim are Ovdei Kohavim. The Kohanim who married into their families were Kohanim Psulim. Therefore, the whole Kusi line is messed up. Therefore, it makes sense, you can't marry them. According to Rabbi Akiva, Kusim are legitimate Gerim. Ultimately, the Kohanim who married into them were Kasher Kohanim. Their problem was that they messed up their familial lines, because they corrupted the laws of Yibum. So asks the Gemara, by the way, my Darshi, by the way, why? What meaning? How did they get to this conclusion that ultimately, again, that you go ahead and that you do Yibum with an Arusa, not with an Asua? Because the Pasuk says, my Darshi, lo siya eishas ameis achutza li'ishzar, because the Pasuk says, the eishas ameis, the wife of the deceased, shanat achutza, shanat, go outward li'ishzar, to a foreign man. So listen, it's only the wife who sat on the outside who should not be to a strange man. We'll say, whose wife was sat on the outside? That's Erison. That's Erison. Only the wife who was not yet brought into the marital home, she's the one who may not be given in marriage to a strange man, but rather must do Yibum. Aval hach de lo yasva chutza, but the one who did not sit on the outside, ayinasua, siyel ishzar, ultimately, again, she can go ahead and become married to someone other than the Yavam. So both say, so because they went out and they totally corrupted the laws of Yibum, therefore, what Rabbi Akiva latame di amar, yesh mamzer mechayvi lavin. And Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that says, what Rabbi say, any marital union that is prohibited even by a lav creates mamzerim. Therefore, because the Kusim messed up the laws of Yibum, therefore, women who should have been marrying the Yavam were marrying other men, those unions produced mamzerim. So according to Rabbi Akiva, the issue with Kusim is the familial lines are laced with mamzerim because of their misunderstanding of the laws of Yibum. That's why, again, we paskin that you can't marry a Kusi, and the Kusim are prohibited to marry one another as well. We'll stop over here for today. Again, we're going to pick up with this one more reason we're going to see tomorrow, which is going to lead us to a fascinating discussion. We'll pick up with the Kusim tomorrow. We'll say a special welcome to Lior Shtul, who's here joining us from the city of Eli. You know that the Sefer we learn every morning, Rav Kashtiel, is one of the Rashi Yeshiva of the Yeshiva of Bnei David. Eli is an incredible city, just in general. It's a city of Mesiras Nefesh. And the Yeshiva of Bnei David is a preparatory academy, which trains young men, ultimately, again, to take the values of Torah into Tzal. It's an incredible, incredible thing. If you have not met Lior, or you have not participated some way in supporting the city of Eli or its institutions, it's exceptionally kedai, exceptionally important. And Lior, we welcome, and please take back to the Bnei Yeshiva, unto the residents of Eli, how much Hakaras HaTov we have for all of them. Please thank Rav Kashtiel for beginning our morning with such a hisoris every single day, and it's a pleasure to have you with us. Sounds like a